A homeless man once shared his only meal with a stranger. That simple act, illogical by every economic measure, would eventually unlock one of the most profound mysteries of modern life: why we feel so empty despite having everything. In 1986, Sebastian Junger was hitchhiking across America when he encountered this man who had nothing yet gave freely. Decades later, as a war correspondent witnessing soldiers risk everything for each other, while comfortable Americans suffered epidemic loneliness, Junger began connecting the dots. The resulting book became a cultural phenomenon, championed by everyone from Joe Rogan to military veterans, because it answers a question we're all secretly asking. Why does prosperity feel so hollow? The answer turns everything we believe about progress upside down. White colonists captured by Native American tribes refused to return home. Benjamin Franklin was baffled when rescued captives screamed, hid, or escaped back to the wilderness. When Colonel Henry Bouquet forced tribes to return white captives in 1763, many had to be physically dragged away. Mary Jemison, taken at 15, explained why she hid. "We had no master to oversee or drive us. Our lives were a continual round of pleasures." What made tribal life so magnetic? Indian societies were fundamentally egalitarian. Personal property was limited to what you could carry, preventing wealth accumulation. Status came through hunting and war, accessible to any man willing to prove himself. Women enjoyed autonomy and sexual freedom, unthinkable in colonial society. One captive woman asked, "Here, I have no master. I am the equal of all women in the tribe. Is there a single woman as independent as I in your cities?" Colonial society offered material comfort, but demanded submission to arbitrary authority. Tribal life offered genuine belonging. Our genes need roughly 25,000 years to adapt. Agriculture emerged only 10,000 years ago. For over a million years before that, humans lived in nomadic bands of about 50, sharing everything, raising children collectively, doing virtually nothing alone. Agriculture enabled property accumulation and independent living, fundamentally restructuring human existence in an evolutionary eye blink. Despite miraculous advances in medicine and technology, we're experiencing unprecedented rates of depression, anxiety, and chronic loneliness. Tribal societies show almost no depression-based suicide, while modern societies reach rates of 25 per 100,000. Wealthy countries experience depression at 8 times the rate of poor countries. The mechanism is revealing. Poverty forces resource sharing and closer community living, resembling our evolutionary heritage. Financial independence often leads to isolation, increasing depression and suicide risk. Self-determination theory explains that humans need competence, authenticity, and connection, intrinsic values that far outweigh extrinsic ones like money and status. We're materially rich, but spiritually impoverished. The alienation begins at birth. Hunter-gatherer infants are carried 90% of the time, matching other primates. American mothers in the 1970s maintained skin contact only 16% of the time, a level traditional societies would consider abuse. Western psychology promotes self-soothing, contradicting millions of years of evolution where infants were never left unattended due to predator risk. As we reduced community importance, we elevated arbitrary authority. Anthropologist Christopher Bohm found that 154 foraging societies shared 2 traits: no major wealth disparities and no arbitrary authority. The most commonly punished infractions were failure to share, freeloading, and bullying, sometimes punished by execution. Modern society tolerates dishonesty tribal groups would never accept. Medicare fraud reaches $100 billion yearly. Corporate fraud during the 2008 recession cost Americans roughly $45,000 per citizen, 3 years of minimum wage work, yet went largely unpunished. The 300-to-1 executive-to-worker pay ratio would be intolerable in tribal societies, where such resource hoarding threatens group survival. We've built a society protecting the powerful while punishing the vulnerable, the exact opposite of our evolutionary template. Disasters paradoxically strengthen communities. The 1915 Avezzano earthquake killed 30,000, yet survivors said it delivered the equality law had promised. During the London Blitz, psychiatric admissions plummeted to just 2 weekly cases of bomb neuroses. Belfast's suicide rates dropped 50% during the 1969-70 riots, declining most where violence was worst. Allied bombing backfired. The more German cities were bombed, the stronger civilian morale became. Dresden lost more people in one night than London did throughout the war, yet German production increased. Charles Fritz found disasters reinforced social bonds, with people prioritizing community over self-interest. His 1961 paper asked, "Why do large-scale disasters produce such mentally healthy conditions?" Fritz theorized disasters restore ancient social connections, creating a community of sufferers where class differences vanish and individuals are judged solely by contribution. This temporary social utopia proves therapeutic even to those with mental illness, a devastating indictment of modern isolation. American forces report the highest PTSD rates ever recorded, approximately twice that of British soldiers in identical conflicts. The U.S. spends over $4 billion annually on PTSD disability, with half of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans applying for permanent disability despite only 10% experiencing direct combat. The paradox? Disability claims rise as combat intensity decreases. The core challenge isn't battlefield trauma, but transitioning back to modern civilian society. Studies worldwide show trauma recovery depends heavily on social context and community integration. Modern Western society, emphasizing individualism and competition, proves particularly ill-equipped for healing. A paradoxical pattern emerges. Soldiers often miss aspects of war. Wynn Strack described military service as his first truly non-competitive tribal situation. What people miss isn't danger, but profound unity. Londoners miss the Blitz's community cohesion. AIDS survivors recall the epidemic's extreme brotherhood. Social support proves twice as reliable at predicting PTSD outcomes as trauma severity itself. In Nepal, child soldiers returning to communal villages showed remarkable recovery, while those in stratified villages remained traumatized. Israel maintains surprisingly low PTSD rates, around 1%, despite constant conflict, because universal mandatory service creates shared understanding. The wound isn't just what happened over there, it's what's missing over here. Despite unprecedented comfort, Americans are profoundly disconnected from what sustains them: farming, manufacturing, infrastructure. Workers in dangerous industries suffer more annual deaths than the entire Afghan war, yet receive less respect than white-collar professionals. Modern rampage shootings occur almost exclusively in affluent white communities, spiking during the Great Depression, declining during World War II, then rising from the 1980s onward. After 9/11, they stopped for 2 years, while crime, suicide, and PTSD symptoms all declined. America tears itself apart, widening income gaps, racial segregation, toxic political division. In combat, soldiers ignore differences of race and religion, making civilian division especially depressing. The liberal-conservative divide wastes energy, though both perspectives embody essential evolutionary components. Conservatives' vigilance against freeloaders, liberals' compassion enabling cooperation. When Bo Bergdahl abandoned his post in Afghanistan, soldiers experienced profound betrayal. Yet when Wall Street bankers caused the 2008 collapse, 9 million lost jobs, 5 million foreclosed homes, nearly 5,000 additional suicides, they faced minimal consequences and received enormous bonuses. When pressed to explain why he gave his only flour and lard to starving strangers, Thomas, a Cree Indian, responded, "Suppose now. Not to give them flour, lard, just dead inside. We've built a paradise that's killing us spiritually. The path forward isn't abandoning progress, but remembering what we lost. We need each other. Sacrifice creates meaning. Belonging requires giving what we can't afford to lose. Your comfort isn't making you happy. Your independence is making you sick. Find your tribe or build one."